Once again, it's time to sit down with Matt Stringer, the Chief Executive of RNIB, for a catch-up on some of the latest news from the charity. Thanks for joining us, Matt.
Hello, Alan. My pleasure, as ever.
Now, you had a haircut before. I got mine as well, so I'm feeling a weight has been lifted from my shoulders, to say the least, because we are starting to open up again.
My daughter is a medical student being at home who actually sat in the kitchen and rather expertly wielded the scissors last seen wrapping Christmas presents. So, didn't really have the tools to do the job, but actually gave me a bit of a trim last week. But no, I mean, it's great. And I think everyone's seen an uptick this week in mood across the devolved nations as more is open. As you say, getting a haircut, getting a pint, queuing to go to Primark, all those national passions have been satisfied. But, serious point, as society opens up, clearly pubs that can't serve inside and restaurants that can't serve inside, setting up pavement tables and pavement architecture, the landscape is potentially fraught for blind and partially sighted people, as well as, trying to maintain social distancing when engaging with more that's open. Going shopping, for example, in Primark or M&S or anywhere, it's something that we haven't been able to do for sort of 4 months or so. And, clearly people might be a bit nervous. So, what we've been doing is sort of reaffirming, updating, refreshing all the advice for blind and partially sighted people, which is all over our website under our coronavirus page on, social distancing, on best practice guidance for going out and about. And there's a variety of materials here for businesses and for government to use on how to sort of set up as safely as possible, and again a reaffirmation of some of the services that we'll still maintain, such as getting sort of food delivery slots, for example, for people who can't get out and about and still are reliant on home deliveries. So I just again encourage all your listeners to engage with the materials on our website, whether they're a blind and partially sighted person who's looking for some insight, or whether they are people listening in who are running businesses or looking to communicate information, and they can find out some really good best practice guidance on our website.
Absolutely. We will give the details to the website a little bit later. We're round again, Matt, to different kinds of political elections in May around the UK. And it kind of brings us back to the question around accessible voting, that kind of thing.
One of the big underlying pushes we've been doing through all my time in the RNIB, the last couple of years, and I'm sure it predates that, but certainly very energetically over the last couple of years, has been to really try and get the devolved governments and the UK government to provide a much better, much more certain experience of blind and partially sighted people to take part in the democratic process, to exercise their franchise and to vote. And that sounds pretty straightforward, but clearly it hasn't been. We did a big survey last year that we shared with the government over, a large minority of blind and partially sighted people not being able to engage the democratic process. So, as you say, the 6th of May, is a date across the country with, elections to the Scottish Parliament, a whole ton of county council elections in the UK. We've got a by-election in Hartlepool. We've got elections for regional mayors, police and crime commissioners. I think you're a very lucky person in the UK not to have a vote on something at the moment. And many people will be voting multiple times in a variety of those things I just mentioned. So, clearly, I think outside the general election, it's actually one of the biggest sort of days for voting across the UK, actually. So clearly a big opportunity for us to really try and show that there's been an improvement. So, some of the detail of things we've been working on, we've done a whole ton of training with electoral administrators through the Association of Electoral Administrators, and we've done training films and guidance. We've done a sort of what to expect when voting during COVID page on the website, and there's a doc to download as well. Yeah, we work with the Electoral Commission across the UK to shape their guidance for how to set up polling stations to make it a good experience of blind and partially sighted people, including not having obstruction, signage and other things getting in the way of actually moving around. We've got the pilot of the accessible voting device, which is, I think, a really big item that we've been working with the Cabinet Office on being used in Norfolk. We're going to run our survey again, Turned Out Survey, which is the survey that gave us all the information first time round. And, we've also sort of provisionally penciled in a virtual event in Parliament to brief MPs on all of this, but particularly the Norfolk trial. And so you can see it's not just lots of nice words. There's a lot of practical steps being taken.
Do take part in that survey when it comes out. We will let you know. We couldn't really chat, Matt, without mentioning, of course, the death of the Duke of Edinburgh. Also, that strong royal connection with, of course, the RNIB.
We have a very rich history of the Queen participating as a very active patron over many years. And, you know, one of the things I was delighted to see when I turned up at the Arran Abbey a couple of years ago was our fantastic archive, which has 150 years worth of fabulous materials, you know, braille devices, cups, old sooty boxes, documents, you know, from Victorian times, and a whole ton of sort of press coverage of events. And a lot of those in the second half of the 20th century have been royal events, with the Queen Mother and then the Queen visiting the Arran Abbey, turning up to visit various shows and things where we were sort of showcasing developments such as sort of audio books and, you know, braille devices, and attending a number of sort of gala dinners and fundraising activities over 50 years, particularly actually around the turn of the century, quite a few with some headlines turns like Shirley Bassey and whatever. So, you know, we've got a very rich history, always supported by the royal family and Prince Philip. I think one of the things we've all learnt about in the last week has been the depth and breadth of his charitable interests, and a man who made a lot of happen, the Duke of Edinburgh scheme, World Wildlife Fund, and the Plainfields Association, which will be close to my heart particularly. So I think appropriate to note the sadness of the organisation at the passing of Prince Philip, and how much, you know, we have benefited from that association with the Queen particularly, but the sort of wider royal family who supported us, you know, nobly through most of our history, but particularly in the second half of the sort of 20th century. And that tradition sort of continues with Sophie Wessex. And just prior to lockdown starting a year ago, we had a dinner that she hosted for us at St. James's Palace, showing her real interest in sort of broad issues around sort of eye health. But I think it's just, you know, fair for me today to note how appreciative we've been of that, and, you know, how sad we were as an organisation at the death of the Duke of Edinburgh.
We are almost out of time, Matt, but let's take a quick look at some of the fundraising news for us. We've got Life Changers running, more news on that on the website. And of course, the beginning of May sees the start of Marathon Mates.
A couple of things, as you mentioned, that we have at the moment. So people engage on our website, they'll find our Life Changers appeal, which I think is a really great appeal that we're using some of our ECLOs, our eye clinic liaison officers who work in hospitals, particularly one called Jenny Molyneux, who works up in the sort of Royal Blackburn Hospital. You know, it's a 90-second video, but really shows, I think, the difference that our services can bring to people who go through an eye health experience and can come out of that, you know, with a diagnosis, which could be quite challenging, and wondering where to turn, you know, and our ECLOs are there, able to point people in the right direction, whatever they might need in terms of, you know, onward assistance, you know, whether that's a relatively mild set of help needed or whether something a bit more involved. We've launched this about 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago, and we're seeing a very strong interest, and it's been a very successful campaign actually for the amount of time we've run it so far. So maybe I just encourage your listeners to engage with the Life Changers content on our website. And as you say, you know, in lockdown it's been a great focus of ours to get people up and out, away from the desks, you know, getting out, taking exercise, getting fresh air, you know, doing a number of things to encourage that to happen. And we're doing that with Marathon Mates, which is a chance to, you know, complete a marathon distance with a mate, a virtual mate probably, and a great opportunity to do it with a friend or a family member or some, you know, business contact or whatever, who you might not be able to sort of see normally, but this is a time to sort of or an opportunity to sort of get together, take some exercise and help us, you know, raise some funds. So I'd encourage people to, you know, engage with the Marathon Mates detail on our website, and if you feel able, you know, please sign up. If nothing else, it will get you out doing 26 miles between you over May, which must be a good thing.
Absolutely. A whole month to cover the distance. Do go to marathonmates.rnib.org.uk for more info there. And for everything we've been chatting about, actually, and a whole heap of support and advice, do go to rnib.org.uk. You can also call the helpline on 0303 123 9999. And if you have an Amazon Echo Lady A device, I won't say her name right now, you can just ask her to call RNIB helpline for you as well. So lots of ways to get in touch. Matt, you're off on your holidays, so it'll be a couple of weeks before we see you, but thank you for joining us once again on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much, Alan. As ever, my pleasure. I've enjoyed it.